I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In just a moment, we're going to be talking about a surprising number of grandparents who are raising grandchildren. Our guest will help explain why. She's a professor of nursing and director of the Project Healthy Grandparents at Georgia State University. For many grandparents, they may love what they're doing, but they're doing this by themselves without a parent in the house. And if you're older, you might have health problems, you might lose a job, and so being able to raise children and all that is required in terms of the energy, in terms of the love, and in terms of the money that it takes may be difficult. So that's coming up in just one moment. It's a busy hour because this is also the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian. You know, you're always going to hear something worthwhile when you tune in to this show. And today we're asking you to put a value on the program and everything else that you hear on WPR by making a gift. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kathleen, 52 people pledged to WPR.
Oh, my gosh. Did they really?
Yes,
wow.
Isn't that incredible?
Thank you. Yes. Isn't that nice?
Thank you so much. So much, so much.
That must have been the Neanderthal in everybody.
Yeah, right.
Maybe.
So it's a brand new hour, which means we have a brand new goal. And this hour, we're trying to get to 40 pledges. When you make the donation to WPR this hour, you support your favorite programs and you're entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip.
All right.
So, heck, let's just meet the goal, too, and get entered in the drawing with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There's so much junk in our society. We hear that so often. It's hard to find something that's meaningful, substantial. And it's why we work here and we do this program. We really sink our teeth into important topics every day. It might be interviews that we have done on where we came from. We've also done a lot of interviews on where we're going, traveling perhaps to Mars. We look at where we've been and where we're going. Lots of political conversations, international news, you name it. We've just covered so many topics. You can't get this kind of substance without your support and on any other radio station. So make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now through the end of the drive, you can also get your very own WPR tote bag.
All right.
That's for a pledge of $6 a month or $72 a year. Your donation supports the programs you count on, and you can also get this handy tote. The tote bag is made from recycled cotton, and it's printed right here in Wisconsin. So you can show off your support of WPR at the grocery store, at the farmer's market.
Absolutely.
At the library when you use this bag. So ask for yours right now when you pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This membership drive, we're having a drawing for a trip of your choice to South Africa, Cuba, or Canada. When you give, you're automatically entered, but you don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, by making a pledge right now.
And you can pledge by going to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 during our fall membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and we're asking for your support of WPR. Your gift might be $10 a month, $15 a month. We thank you for whatever you can give.
It's probably a safe bet to say that WPR is a preset maybe in your home or your car, but it's probably a preset in your home and your car.
Right.
You listen to WPR a lot, and it's time to become a contributing member. Be part of the station that you listen to so much. Go from someone who listens every day to someone who listens and contributes. You can start with a pledge of $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We hear great stories, Lisa, from WPR listeners every day. First, you contribute to this show in an enormous fashion. And believe me, it is recognized by the guests we have on. They love your contributions. And I know that you comment to us about how much much WPR touches your lives. The donor comments that you hear during this pledge drive are terrific examples. We're so grateful to have Bill and Mary Say from the Wisconsin Dells WPR in our lives, especially when we're driving. Thanks for all that you do. This reminds us of how we are connected to each other as a community. We love great radio programs, and your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes WPR great experiences possible for you and for the community.
Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening, which is really a good deal when you think about it. It's less than a cup of coffee a day or a can of soda a day. Or a day of cell phone service,
right,
for sure. A dollar a day comes out to about $30 a month, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or your credit card. Make your pledge right now in the amount that's right for you and your family at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking, Lisa, for 38 pledges during the next, I don't know how many minutes, 45 minutes,
yeah,
a little over that. So your pledge is really important. And remember, you're going to be entered in that drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. Sustainers, you are automatically entered. And Lisa, you've been telling us about this.
Is it the tote bag, Kathleen?
Yes, it is. I think I'm getting one for the holidays.
KP. Yeah, careful listeners may be aware. The tote bag is very popular around here. So, and it can also be yours and popular with you. $6 a month or $72 or more a year. Do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Carol from Madison says, it is time to help pay for what I enjoy so much. Mm-hmm. And I know many of you enjoy it so much. And it's really an important thing in your lives. It's an important thing in all of our lives. So thank you. How do you pledge again?
Kathleen, you go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
There are approximately 6.3% of U.S. children who are under the age of 18, and they're living in their grandparents-headed households. It's a trend which impacts families from all ethnicities, educational backgrounds, and economic levels. And it has, obviously, implications for our society and our communities due to advanced age sometimes, poor health, poverty, lack of transportation. Grandparent caregivers are often unable to provide their grandchildren with much beyond their vital necessities. Our guest is director of Project Healthy Grandparents, and she is proud that they have provided nursing and social work and legal service referrals to more than 800 Atlanta families, including over 1,800 children, since they started in 1995. They are committed to engaging in service activities that improve health and well-being within the community. Dr. Susan Kelly is with us now on the Ideas Network, professor of nursing and director of Project Healthy Grandparents at Georgia State University. And I'm sure that there are many of you listening who are grandparents. Maybe your grandchildren stay with you while your children are off at work. Maybe it's been a necessity due to poverty or addictions or other reasons for your grandchildren to be living with you full time. And we welcome your phone calls. We'd love to hear from you this hour. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk at WPR.org. Dr. Susan Kelly, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
So tell me the reasons why there are an increasing number of grandparents who are raising their grandchildren.
Well, there are a number of factors. One is, over the last two decades, we've seen a dramatic increase in the incarceration rate of women. So now we've got more mothers going to prison than ever before. Often these are drug-related offenses. Other reasons that children are in the care of the grandparents is a child abuse and neglect, abandonment of the children, having one or more substance abusing parents, occasionally can involve a premature death of the parent, and certainly mental health issues and domestic violence plays a role in the number of children being raised by grandparents.
Mm-hmm. And there are probably also a number of grandparents who aren't filling quite as demanding a role as being parents as well as being grandparents, but many, many people who are helping to take care of their children because so many people work now, moms and dads, so they're taking care of children during the day.
Yes, yes. That is definitely grandparents are playing a vital role in providing child care. Well, what our program focuses on are the grandparents who are raising grandchildren in parent absent households. So they're not really helping out the birth parent. They are it. They are
right.
The prime parent.
Yeah. And when you're 60 years old or maybe a little younger or certainly older, you've got your own set of issues, right? You've got maybe you're not quite as healthy as you used to be. If you don't have very much money or have a car to get around, here you are with a child that you're taking care of and you're not in the best of health yourself.
You're right. Nationally, the average age for grandparents in this position is 57 years of age. But there are many grandparents over the age of 60 who find themselves in this position. And often because they are self-sacrificing in order to take care of the children, they put their own health care on the back burner, so to speak. The priorities are for the grandchildren. One of the things we do in our program is we try to emphasize for the need for them to take care of their own health mm-hmm. if they're going to be around to see the children grow up.
And you also make it a point to make sure that their health is taken into consideration. You take people to see people, don't you, and check on their health?
We do. Each family in our program is assigned a registered nurse who does monthly home visits, and that nurse will assess grandparents for health issues as well as the grandchildren. Many of the clients in our program have chronic health conditions such as obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, and as you said, the health often can negatively impact their ability to take care of the children. So our nurses work with the families in helping them manage these chronic conditions.
Mm-hmm. You also point out that a lot of these children might be in foster care if they weren't with their grandparents, so it's actually a big cost saving for the state.
It is. It's estimated that nationwide that $6.5 billion are
spent
because of grandparents keeping these children out of the state foster care system.
Are you an anomaly, or are there lots of programs like yours in states all over the country?
There aren't. We're somewhat of an anomaly in the scope of the services that we offer. What we see mostly around the country are support groups for grandparents raising grandchildren. That's the most common effort out there, and those are highly valuable because the grandparents come together, they draw a lot of support and information from each other, and it's also a way for professionals to come and speak to grandparents about topics that are relevant to them, such as parenting classes, what they need to know about the legal system, what they need to know about getting benefits for their children. So our program is very comprehensive, but programs that are less comprehensive and can reach grandparents are also very important.
You also, I understand, provide a van so that you can pick up the children and take them to what, a center where they can be with other children who are being raised by their grandparents during the day?
No, we don't actually have that. That sounds great, though. It would be a wonderful idea. But what we do is, now years ago we had a program called the Saturday Youth Academy where we brought the children together on campus, and that was helpful, but the funding ran out on that, so we're able to do that. Well, transportation is key, as you had said earlier, because in Atlanta, the public transportation system isn't as extensive as it should be, so it's hard for people often to get around on that. And with our health problems and you know, bringing kids in tow is not practical. So we do have several vehicles where we can bring the grandparents to campus for our support groups and our parenting classes. We can also get them to medical appointments, and we also work with Emory University School of Medicine
Great.
Regarding developmental evaluations of these children. Many of these children in our program, anyway, but I think this has relevance across the country. If their mother is a substance abuser, then there's a greater chance that they have used drugs or alcohol during pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And that can have a negative impact on the children.
Yeah.
So anytime that we know that there's a history of substance abuse, we do have the children evaluated for developmental delays and provide transportation for that. And sadly, many of them are diagnosed with developmental delays. But the good thing is, though, we're catching it early and getting the children into early intervention programs so
right.
that they will have a better chance of being successful when mm-hmm. school age.
Yeah. Let's quickly go to a phone call. Judy in Waukesha. Hi, Judy. Judy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, go right ahead.
Hi. I'm from Waukesha, Wisconsin. And in Wisconsin, the Health and Human Services has a program called Grandparents and Raising Their Grandchildren and Other Relatives program. And there is some funding. And so we've had, I think, in Waukesha County, it's been in existence for about 12 or 13 years. And I started it while I was working there. And we've done different events where we would go to maybe the fireside and go to a play. And the staff from the county would take care of the children to give respite to the grandparents so they could enjoy it. And then when they got home, they could all discuss it as an event and have something that was positive that happened. It's very difficult because as I was doing this, my daughter died, and so I became a grandparent raising my grandchildren.
Mm.
And it's very difficult because you can get, if you're eligible, you can get some funding. If you're not, then you really have a struggle. But the problems are it's very hard to find medical assistance, for instance, like dentists. That, take Medicaid. It's very hard to get assistance in the school system. And it's very hard because we're of a different age. There's a whole generation that we have skipped. So we haven't had that experience of kids in school throughout all the time until we got our grandchildren. So it's very hard to understand the system. And in my case, my kids, all of them have all their assignments online. And so it was very difficult just working on the computer and trying to email and communicate with everyone. And so, when you have all these diagnoses, you have to go to all the different doctors, and it's just hard to keep track of everything.
Sure.
And I'm a nurse, but it's still very difficult.
Right.
People don't understand, and the kids get embarrassed because we're not the right age. So we aren't as tolerant as the parents today,
Yeah, if you can, please, Judy, I'm going to ask you to just stay on hold for a few moments. Scotty will be with you and see if it's okay, because I'd like to have you have a chance to interact with Dr. Susan Kelly about all of this. You have to learn all the jargon, too. If you're skipping a generation, that's all hard, too. It's a whole new culture. We're talking about grandparents raising their grandchildren, particularly those who have become full-time caretakers for a variety of reasons, in a special program. Our guest has put together some years ago, the founder and director of Project Healthy Grandparents. It provides comprehensive services to families with parent-absent homes. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you topics like raising grandchildren, if you're a grandparent without parental support. We do all kinds of topics on a personal level, on a national level, state level, international level. It's your support that makes these conversations happen. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 37 pledges in the next 35 minutes or so to meet the goal this hour. When you pledge, you'll be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. So when you donate any amount, say $5 a month, $10 a month, you could be on your way to Cuba, South Africa, or on a train in the Canadian Rockies. You don't have to donate and enter either. Just go to WPR.org for all the details. Help pay for the Kathleen Dunn Show and get entered in the drawing when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every single day. You enjoy this program, and Zorba Pastor on Your Health, Says You, Radio Lab, The Joy Cardine Show, What Do You Know? So many different programs you've come to rely on. We give you a window on the world like nobody else, let's face it. So support the exciting mix of shows that you enjoy with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs you love, just like this one. If you're on the fence about giving, we have a little something extra for you, and it's a classic, a public radio tote bag.
Yes.
The tote bag, it's canvas, and it's made from recycled cotton, and it has this really bright blue WPR design. And the tote bag, it's printed right here in Wisconsin. You can get the tote bag when you give $72 a year or more, or $6 a month or more. So ask for your tote bag right now and show your support for WPR when you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I don't know if you're aware of this, so let's make you aware of this. A large slice of WPR's budget pie, it's actually the biggest, is listener support. All of our funding sources, the state and federal government and businesses, are important, of course, but your contribution makes one huge difference. Mm-hmm. We are the service that we are thanks to listener support. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We are asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive. Your pledge might be $5 a month, or maybe you've been blessed and you could do $100 a month. We appreciate and count on all of your gifts.
Why you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio and the Kathleen Dunn Show is the same reason why you should give to Wisconsin Public Radio today. Maybe you go to WPR for in-depth news. Maybe it's for really interesting conversations. And maybe it's for the fun of the weekend shows. Whatever your reason for tuning in, we invite you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support, your support, makes WPR happen at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You listen to WPR year-round, and you can donate the same way you listen by becoming a sustaining member. Make the decision once, and you'll make affordable contributions of perhaps $10 or $20 a month for as long as you wish to. It's easy on your budget. It cuts down on paperwork. So think about becoming a sustainer right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You're thinking about pledging right now. So you know what? You should just do it. Become a member of WPR. It takes just a few minutes to contribute. You'll have the good feeling of supporting all the programs that you love. Join, renew, make an extra gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have about 36 more pledges to go and 30 minutes or so to get them. So it's your gift that we need right now. It will help. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount, you will be entered in that drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. Sustainers, you are automatically entered.
And remember, for this drive, ask for the brand new WPR tote bag. It's been a real hit around our office in Milwaukee. So show off your WPR pride when you pledge $6 a month or $72 a year at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day that you increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Christine from South Bend, Indiana says,
South Bend.
I left Wisconsin a couple of years ago, but frequently return to WPR online. Programs like Kathleen Dunn don't exist in other areas. You are the best. Wow. Thank you so much, Christine. So join Christine, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much, Lisa. We are talking this hour about grandparents being in charge of raising their grandchildren for a variety of reasons and how difficult that may be financially. We have our guest with us who is the director of a project, Healthy Grandparents. It's a community-based program that provides comprehensive services to families with parents who are not in the home. Dr. Susan Kelly is a professor of nursing and director of that program. She's at Georgia State University. And right before we asked for your pledge support, Judy from Waukesha, who started a grandparents program in Waukesha County, joined us. And she is raising, because of the death of her daughter, her grandchildren as well, and talked about how hard it is. So I wanted the two of them to be able to speak to each other. Dr. Susan Kelly, do you want to respond and converse with Judy about what she's set up and what she's going through?
Well, first of all, Judy, I congratulate you on two levels. First of all, the program that you set up to serve grandparents in your own community sounds wonderful, and I'm sure it's reaching the target audience and improving their ability to cope with the various challenges that one encounters when they're raising grandchildren. I also applaud you for stepping in to take care of your own grandchildren after such a difficult time with the loss of your daughter. So I'm sure you're probably more effective than ever now in helping the families in the program that you started, given your personal situation.
Mm-hmm. She mentioned how difficult it is because you're skipping a generation, Dr. Kelly, which I really hadn't thought of. You have to learn what the jargon is. You have to learn what the mores are, what the culture is of a generation that's being born some years after you were born.
Absolutely. What we hear repeatedly from our grandparents is, I haven't raised children in 25, 30 years. Mm-hmm. It's a different world out there now. And certainly the issue around the digital divide that Judy mentioned, it does play a significant role. Some of our families can't afford to have computers in their home. And if they do, the grandparents are often feeling disadvantaged because they may not have had the opportunity to be proficient in computer use.
What do you think grandparents who are in this situation need that they don't have, Judy? Are you there, Judy? Oh, wait, there. I got to press this button. Judy, what do you think grandparents need they don't have? Judy? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess Judy isn't there, but
in
she's probably
Wisconsin,
listening. Oh, there we are.
Hello?
Yeah, we hear you now, Judy.
Oh, but it is available through Health and Human Services in every county of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to make a point of that. But I think that one thing would be just someone who could lead you through the maze of services, from education to medical to different activities that you can do together. And it's very difficult to do that. Even if you had the money to afford it, it's very difficult just to figure it out. I mean, because you have so many steps that you have to go through just to get insurance, just to get to find a dentist that has Medicaid that will take the child.
Right.
Or braces. Nobody covers braces. You know, so that child then goes without braces, no matter how bad his teeth are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just difficult to figure it out. And, you know, and I've been doing it for other people, and it is really difficult out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it is. Well, more power to you. And you're dealing, Dr. Kelly, with some families who are making maybe $15,000 a year.
That's correct, yes. That is a major challenge to them. The state of Georgia does provide a very modest stipend now for grandparents who are raising grandchildren. It's $100 a month, which doesn't go very far, but it's certainly an improvement from what they were getting in the past, which was nothing. So we're grateful for that. But even our middle-class families struggle economically. They're not expecting to have to provide food and clothing for children at this point in their lives. Some are retired and on fixed income.
Sure.
Some of them have to leave the workforce because of their children with special needs. And they're so busy taking the children to this and that appointment that they just can't keep up with a full-time job anymore, which makes it difficult. And some of the other financial challenges around, legal services, they want to adopt the grandchildren, that's expensive. We mentioned earlier that substance abuse plays a major role. A lot of families have spent their life savings for drug rehab or alcohol rehab for their adult children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very difficult for them.
Thank you very much, Judy, for your call. If you'd like to join our conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 800-486-8655. Perhaps you've been or you're living through being a grandparent who's taking care of your grandchildren full time and can tell us what it is that may help you. On the other hand, we do need to look at some of the joys here. And you also report that the grandparents talk about the rewards of having children in their lives and the joys, giving them a sense of purpose. And maybe you're not young in years, but you're young at heart.
Yes, we heard that a lot from the grandparents, that this really gives them a sense of increased sense of purpose in their life, that they often will say that they're at a different place in their life now where they feel more mature and they have their priorities are different now, and perhaps their priority isn't to be successful in their career, or they are now successful in their career and can focus more, on the children. They do. You're right. The children, their grandparents will often say the children make them feel young. So they do, and the love that they get from the grandchildren. Now, in many cases, though, the grandchildren have been traumatized because of their family situation and what they went through with their birth parents. And so often they have behavior problems and take out their anger on the grandparents. So that can be difficult for the grandparents because here they're heroes. They're stepping in because of their love and commitment. And sometimes it takes a while until the children are older that they get that full appreciation for the sacrifice that the grandparents are making.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine, though, that it may be somewhat easier than being placed in a foster home, that the transition to being with your grandparents, you know your grandparents, and there's a bond there, there's a family unit there, that it may make it a little easier. Is that true?
Absolutely. In most cases, the children are much better off in the home with the grandparents. You said that they know the grandparents, so they're maintaining those family ties. They're able to maintain ties to their community, perhaps, the religion that they were raised in. And one of the really important factors that they are more likely to remain with their siblings. If you've got a large number of children, and, many foster care parents can't take in 3, 4, or 5 children at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So children get split up and don't, rarely see each other. And another major benefit of being with the grandparents is that it's much more of a stable environment. In the United States, on average, children in foster care change homes every 18 months.
Are you serious? Every 18 months?
On average. You can imagine how traumatic that is for the children.
And some of those homes may be wonderful, and some of those homes may be terrible. And what a hard way to grow up. What a hard way.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it is truly amazing what the grandparents are doing, their commitment. But it's often at a sacrifice, but most of the grandparents wouldn't have it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
That commitment to family is there.
Is this hard to get a community program going, to get funding going for, and it's not a whole lot of money, to help these families? Did you find that it was hard to start Project Healthy Grandparents? Did you have to fight for it, or did it come easily?
Probably somewhere in between, that we did have to work very hard to raise dollars, but it's amazing, how many generous people are out there, and most people, when they think of grandparents raising grandchildren, it really tugs at their heartstrings because most people have such fond memories of their own grandparents and can think, oh my goodness, what if my grandparents had to do this? And so, it resonates with funders when they hear about the situation of grandparents raising grandchildren. But in terms of getting a program going in the community, you know, there are senior centers that will do this. And, you know, some of the public schools are getting programs going. And so really, as I said earlier, support groups are a great way to get going.
Mm-hmm.
They can be very low cost. We can get a community agency to donate space. It could be a church, a senior center, a local school. To bring grandparents together, provide a group leader. Transportation can be an issue, particularly in rural parts of the country. Getting people together, can be quite difficult.
And I would imagine that we all have to think about, we're all mortal, right? So that you do have to think about, if you're much older and you're raising very young children, what will happen when you aren't here anymore?
Absolutely. Very good point. And that's something we work with our families on, first in terms of trying to keep them healthy so they will be here, but second of all, working with lawyers to make sure that the families have wills. And many people, they think because they don't have much in the terms of economic resources that they don't need a will, but certainly everyone does need a will, and in this case with the grandparents, they have to have a succession plan. Who will take these children if something were to happen to them?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't like to think about it, the children don't like to think about it, but it is something that we strongly encourage them to do. Have security for the children, hopefully it's through either another relative that would be willing to take the children, or a close friend of the family.
Yeah. And what about the willingness of grandparents to become involved and take in their grandchildren? Is this something that a lot of families will just naturally embrace, or is it something that it's just too hard for many families to be able to do this?
Yeah. It depends, I think, on how well the family is functioning. You know, if the grandparents are functioning at a reasonable level, more often than not, they're willing to take the children in. But, of course, if they have multiple problems of their own, particularly mental health issues,
right.
They may not be able to do it. But the commitment is often there. And I think it really varies by community. For instance, I think with the African-American community, that extended families and helping others out is not new. I would say the same thing with perhaps families that are newer to this country, that they've extended families have often been there for each other over generations. And so I think those types of families are more used to the idea of stepping in and taking care of not only the nuclear family, but the extended family.
Sharon writes on Facebook, please comment, Doctor, on the factor of legal custody. Many relatives take children in, but don't have legal custody and can't get certain types of assistance without this.
That's right. There are different levels of legal relationships, and it's very important for the grandparents to have a legal relationship with the grandchild. Sometimes I think, well, of course, I'm the one that's providing care for them. But I'll give you an example. We had a mother who got out of prison on a Friday afternoon. She went to the children's school. The children were being raised at that time by their great-grandmother.
Oh, my goodness.
The mother took the children out of school, and there was absolutely nothing the grandmother, great-grandmother could do because she didn't have a legal relationship with the grandchildren. And so the police couldn't do anything. Child Protective Services couldn't do anything. So we're very fortunate that we work with Atlanta Legal Aid, and almost every community has a form of attorneys. And we've been amazed by the families that, when they're not eligible for legal aid services, public legal services, that law firms, private law firms, are often willing to do pro bono work.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be extensive. The most basic type of legal relationship that a grandparent needs with their grandchild is guardianship, Well, in some jurisdictions, some counties, the grandparent doesn't need a lawyer to fill out those guardianship papers. Now, if they want to get legal custody, now you're taking it up to another level, and often they do need the services of an attorney to do that.
I also read, I don't know if you're familiar with this and if it would be something that you would want to do, that there's a grand housing program in Boston where they're providing apartments for grand families.
Yes, I had the good fortune of visiting that.
Oh, you did? That's a great idea.
About a decade ago, and It was very impressive. They took, there was a building, I'm not quite sure what its previous use was. I don't know if it was a nursing home or what, but they renovated it, and it was quite modern, quite lovely. And so the facilities were amenable to older adults who might need special types of showers, handicap access, and the units also were child-safety oriented. And they had on-site social worker, on-site services there. So it really was very comprehensive.
And you founded this whole program. What was it in your life? What was it that made you to do this?
Well, you mentioned I'm a nursing professor, so I am a registered nurse, and I have spent the last three decades of my professional life working in the field of child abuse.
Oh.
And looking at various aspects related to that, including substance abuse, child sexual abuse, and back in the early 90s in Boston, I was doing research at the Children's Hospital there on substance abuse during pregnancy and the impact on the child. And I met a grandparent who was raising two grandchildren, and she told me her story.
Oh.
She was about 60 years old. She worked in one of the major hospitals there in the housekeeping department, and she was raising two grandchildren, a four-year-old and a two-month-old.
Mm.
And her daughter was incarcerated, and she shared with me that it wasn't as hard for the baby because the baby was born in prison and never knew her mother, but that the four-year-old child would wake up in the middle of the night crying for her mother. And then she went on to say, and my daughter was released from prison 6 months ago, and I don't know if she's dead or alive.
Oh.
Her abusive boyfriend picked her up, and we've never heard from her.
Oh.
And I think for me that was a call to action. I just see here you this hardworking woman finding herself in this position. And not only are these grandparents dealing with the grandchildren, you know, the demands of raising children, but they're often dealing with grief issues over their own adult children, whether the grief is because they lost a child through death, but losing a child to incarceration, substance abuse, health issues. So it's really a double whammy for many of these families.
Yeah, and the children deserve lives. Professor Kelly, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. And thank you for bringing this to the attention of your listeners.
We're happy to.
Because it's often a very hidden population out there.
Yeah, thank you. Dr. Susan Kelly, she's a professor in the School of Nursing and Health Professions at Georgia State University in Atlanta, and she started this program that helps so many grandparents who are raising their grandchildren. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I know you count on this network to talk about all these important issues, and some of them are issues that we bring to light, like the hour we just had. WPR counts on you to keep these conversations on the air. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're wrapping up the hour, Kathleen, and we're still looking for 27 pledges. Your pledge of support to your favorite program, plus a pledge this hour, enters you in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. So when you donate, you have a chance to go to Cuba, tour South Africa, or see the Canadian Rockies. You don't have to donate to enter. Just go to WPR.org for all the details. So your pledge at this very, very minute keeps WPR strong, and you have a chance to win a trip of your choice.
Nice.
Yeah, make your contribution. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Take a few minutes to make this hour and so many of the hours that we've already had and so many of the hours we are yet to have possible. Choose a gift amount that is good for you, and then just go to WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
And remember, for this drive, you can choose the classic WPR tote bag as your thank you gift. That's for a pledge of $6 a month or $72 or more a year. It's made from recycled cotton, and it's printed right here in our beautiful state of Wisconsin. Your pledge supports all the programs on WPR, and you're going to love this canvas tote. It's bright blue with a WPR design on it, and you can see it at WPR.org. And make sure to ask for it when you pledge right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm John Munson, encouraging you to join me on a spectacular rail tour through Canada. Make a pledge of any amount during this membership drive, and you'll be entered to win a trip for two. If you win, you'll have three trips to choose from, including a tour of beautiful sights in Canada. Look forward to scenic ferry cruises and idyllic strolls through charming towns. We'll see gardens and historic sites, and we'll explore the heart of Vancouver. Then, get away from it all for up-close views of the majestic Canadian Rockies and glacial blue lakes. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Find the details and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Best of luck.
Thank you, John. And again, that's WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and we are asking for your support of WPR during our fall membership drive. Whatever amount you choose, thank you very much.
Maybe it's time for you to play a larger role in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. The 9XM Leadership Circle may be just what you're looking for. It's a growing group of listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs. Leadership Circle members want to make sure public radio programming will be here today, tomorrow, next week, for all who listen. If you'd like to increase your support to Wisconsin Public Radio, now might be the time to join the 9XM Leadership Circle. And you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know you're investing in something that's reliable. We are so reliable. We've been here almost 100 years, and there's no end in sight. And we're a great value. You turn on the radio, and you hear something interesting, and you learn something new. And you get to decide how much you pay for this marvelous service. So invest in WPR right now. Choose the amount you want to give, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've never given a WPR before because you don't really think your contribution or your gift would make a huge difference. Well, let me tell you, that's not true at all.
No.
Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget. And that doesn't mean we're necessarily asking for this huge gift. A lot of times, first-time donors might give $5 a month for their WPR listening. So remember, you decide the amount that is right for you and then make that gift. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Perhaps you've made a donation this year or you're a sustaining member, and we thank you for that. And if you'd like to give us a little extra gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, that would be so nice. You'll help make this drive successful, and you'll support all of the programs that you enjoy every single day.
We're coming up just to the end of this hour, Kathleen, and we're still looking for 26
pledges. All right, let's get moving.
Pledges, yes. So right now, pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And remember to ask for the drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. Sustainers, you are automatically entered. And ask for that. Lisa likes this. KP likes this attractive new WPR tote. And it's yours for a pledge of $6 a month at $72 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A donor from Wausau says, I've come to expect WPR programming will expand my view of things and challenge me to think deeply both about myself and our world. Thank you for your service. Well, thank you so much for your support. Join this donor in Wausau at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much. That's why we do the things we do. When you read that comment, that's why we're here. That's why we're here. Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. It's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
And thanks to KP Whaley and to Scotty Myers for production and on-air production and all their work.